the focus for this series on tshuva, the focus on this series on tshuva is really about our personal involvement in the tshuva process. So last week we gave it a whole shiur about focusing on our own ability to make a turn to tshuva, just to think about tshuva a little bit. Next week, next Monday night, we're going to talk about how can we have Rosh Hashanah without a shofar. How does that work? Shabbos, we're not going to blow the shofar. How does that work? That'll be next Monday night. And then Thursday night, right before Rosh Hashanah, we're going to have a little bit of a schmooze together as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. But tonight's topic is the topic of free will. Meaning, can I really do tshuva? Can I really do tshuva? Is it possible? Meaning, if God is aware of my abilities and my strengths and my weaknesses, he knows who I am. So what good is there for me to try to accomplish something that is seemingly impossible? So what's the point of even trying? And that's the question of free will. And in fact, we'll just start with the following source. Hold on, let's find it. Here we go. The Rambam tells us, the Rambam here in the first source here, Deos harbe yishchol echa v'yachum nei adam, each and every single person possesses many traits. V'zeh meshunam izuvar chokam imenu b'yoseh. Right? So each person has certain traits about them. Everybody's a little different. This one might be angry. This one might be upset. This one might be happy. Everybody we know, I'm not asking you to point out people that you might know with these traits, but everybody is a little bit different. Right, and that's in fact, though, if you look at the next source tells us, right, so this is it, we are created. I could have an angry personality, I could have a calm personality, whatever my personalities are, that's seemingly what I'm created with. Right? The Gemara in the second source seems to say the same thing. Ribosholam, Tiba Zumati Allah, what will be of this person? Gibor o Chalash, Chacham o Tipesh. What will they be like? Strong, weak, smart, poor, wise, all these different things. It seems that except for Yirah Shamayim, except for, you know, speaking about the sponsoring of this year, Devorah was always one in our women's parsha class for 11 years, who came and who participated. There's probably nobody that I know better that was a lifelong learner. A lifelong learner is what we hope our students become. That means just because I finish school, I still can learn. The roof is never achieved. There's always more to learn, especially when it comes to Torah. And Devorah always new insights, new ideas, you know. And even if I might have said this years ago, she would always say, it's okay, we don't remember. So even if you don't remember, the goal is to keep growing in Torah. All right, so except for Yirah Shamayim, we are Gibor Cholash, Chacham Otipesh, we are one of these things. And yet, the Rambam in this third source tells us very plain and simply, "Rishus l'chol adam nisuna." A person has the free will. Imratza lahatos atzmo l'derech tova. If he wants to be good, he could be a tzaddik, and if he wants to be bad, he could be a rasha. So that's a big question. Which one of those is true? Is it true that I am born, I'm a peaceful person, or I'm an angry person, I'm a nice person, or I'm a mean person, I'm strong, or I'm weak? And yet, the Rambam is telling us, no matter what, you could always achieve whatever you want. Well, which one is it? It's very difficult to suggest that it's both. It's very difficult to suggest that it's both. So before we start to answer this question, let's look at, I want to do the following. One of the most important sources for learning about tshuva is the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva is important because it shows us. Now, the Rambam, of course, wrote a number of svarim. He writes the Perish HaMishnayos when he's in his 20s. The Rambam, at the age of 13, is already on the run from the Yalmuhat. He's bar mitzvah present. Is not, you have to run away. You're under persecution. But the Rambam throughout his life is writing and he's educating. So he writes the Perish HaMishnayos, his commentary to the Mishnah. He then writes the Mishnah Torah, which is essentially the first really halachic guidebook. Right? I could walk around with the volume of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah and I can know what to do. Right? We're not going to talk about why the Rambam was taken to task, why they attacked him, why they should not have attacked him. The Mishnah Torah is one of the most important halachic works that we have. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch, when he writes the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo, the Rambam is one of the three opinions he relies on. Okay. Now the Rambam, within these halachos, dedicates 10 chapters to how to do teshuvah. That shows us the same way that if you want to go ahead and kasher your pot, or whatever it is, set up how to do something properly on Shabbos, shecht an animal, light the Hanukkah candles, you look up the halacha. If I want to do tshuva, I look up how to do it. But there's something even more important about the Rambam, and it's not only what he says, it's where the Rambam says it, what we sometimes call Rambam geography. So I want to show you the Rambam's entire Hilchos Tshuva. I will not go through every halacha. We'll do this in 2 minutes. Okay, but we'll get a better understanding of our question once we go through the Rambam. So the Rambam goes to the following. First, Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph is every single mitzvah that you do or do not do requires tshuva. That's the first. You could spend years learning the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva and still have more and more to say. It's unbelievable. But Perek Aleph is, here's the nuts and the bolts of it. You want to do tshuva? Here's what you have to do it on. You were supposed to do something and you didn't. You were not supposed to do something and you did. You got to do tshuva. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So you really got to do tshuva. Perek Aleph. Perek Beis. What is the definition of tshuva? Well, tshuva is this, leaving Yazov Cheto. I'm getting rid of my sin. It's out of my thought, my heart, and I am ready to move on. Okay, and that's Perek Beis. Perek Gimel, is that a person, his ultimate account is with God. He has, you know, like the scale we all colored in as a kid. You know, Rosh Hashanah is a scale. Okay, so there's two things you color in. The scale and the apple and the honey. Right? So we're there's a scale. We have to view ourselves as if we have some good, we have some bad. All right, and that's hopefully over the 10 days of Aseret Simei Teshuva, we tip the scale so that it's more in the favor of doing Zechuyos. Wonderful. Perek Dalid, 4. The fourth perek is things that don't let us do Teshuva. Finally, for our shiur tonight, we get to Perek Hay. That if you really, really want to, you could get and you could do Olam Haba. Now the question is, why in the world does the Rambam, in the middle of tshuva, smack in the middle, the Rambam puts free will? Why does the Rambam put? And look here, it's really free will. Look what he says here in Halacha Beis. Al yavar b'machash avtcha. Don't think sha'omrim tipshei ha'umos olam, what the foolish people say in the non-Jewish world. And not just that, Verov Gomli b'nei Israel. Even Jews say not smart things sometimes. If you don't believe me, I'll send you a list. Shakarash Baruch Hu gozer ala Adam mitchilas. Oh, that man has been this. This is how he is. He can't do any better. Don't think that way. Rather, anybody has the ability to do whatever they want to achieve. This is the Rambam, free will in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva. Then the Rambam in the next parak has a little more about free will. And then in Parak Zion, back to tshuva. How does it work? What are the virtues of tshuva? So the question is as follows. We have to understand the concept of tshuva. Right? We're not going to have, we'll briefly touch upon it tonight, but we're not going to have the time to discuss free will. Does God know what I'm doing, not know what I'm doing? We did that in our Shavuos theme a few years ago. I'm happy to talk more about it at a different time. But by the end of this year, what I want to show is that free will is not just necessary for tshuva, but that tshuva, and this is the key thing. So this is what we have to, this is where, if I was in class, I would tell you, don't miss this line. It's not that free will is necessary for tshuva, but that tshuva is necessary for free will. So let me explain. Do we have free choice or not? Right? Do we have free choice or not? Well, the simple answer is Of course we have free choice. Now, it's a little bit debated in the sources, but essentially, you're here right now. I did not force you to come to this year. I might have guilted you into coming to this year. I might have made you feel bad about not coming. I might have done a lot of tactics to get people to come to Shiurim. And I don't hold, I don't hold back. But I did not force you to come. You're here. So that's clearly we have free will. Now, whether or not God knows that you are going to come to this year, or didn't know you were going to come to this year, is a debate amongst the Rishonim. And it's actually a debate as to the extent, so to speak, that God knows. But for all intents and purposes, it doesn't really make a difference. Because you're here. And being that you're here, God knew the outcome. How you got to the outcome doesn't really make a difference. And you don't know what God knows. So the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Devarim. See here, first of all, Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik says in source number 5, to sum up, we are confronted with 3 enigmas. Why did the Rambam not commence the laws of repentance with free choice? Why did he not place this discussion in his Yesodei HaTorah? Meaning, question 1 is, Rambam should have started the discussion of tshuva with, you can do it. Number 2, why is it here? Meaning, if I were to do an exercise, right? If this was class, and I had all of the Rambam's prakim, all of the things that the Rambam discussed. And the Rambam has 14 prakim, so there's 14 categories. Within those categories, you could have a lot of subcategories. So if I put on the board the 14, I take the 14 categories, I'll walk you into my classroom. You walk into my classroom, you first sanitized your hands, you sanitized, you wiped the desk down, you made sure you didn't breathe on anybody else, you didn't hug anybody else, you stayed 6 feet away, you did all the proper things. You walk into class, and around the room, I place the 14 the 14 books of the Rambam, right? The 14 categories that are within the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. And then I gave you the subcategories, and I told you on post-it notes, go put it where you think they should go to, right? So you would put Hilchos, where would you put the halos of davening? Where would you put Shabbos? Where would you put Chanukah? All those different things. And now you have the post note that says tshuva. Where would you put that post note? Where would you put that post note? It's a great question. Where would you put that post note? I can tell you what Rabbi Soloveitchik is asking. The Rambam has a section called Yesodei HaTorah. Foundations of the Torah, things we believe in. Why is this discussion of free will not in Yesodei HaTorah? So most people would probably put it in Yesodei HaTorah. It is not in Yesodei HaTorah, and it's not in the section of Zmanim, of just about the holidays, Chanukah, Purim, Sukkot, Pesach, right? It's in a separate section. So we're going to have to see why the Rambam leaves it out of Yesodei HaTorah. And finally, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, the last question of Rabbi Soloveitchik is why, hold on, here we go. Why did the Rambam divide the discussion of the problem of repentance into 2 parts, before free choice and after free choice, right? So this is one of the problems with Zoom. See, as a teacher, when you teach kids visually in the classroom, so you can see, even when the kid nods, you know that that nod meant nothing, okay? So when you can actually see people, you can understand if we're on the same page or not. But the Rav's asking 3 questions, but it's really 1 question. What in the world is going on? Why is free will even here? If it is here, why is it not in the beginning? And if it's not in the beginning, why is it in the middle, sort of breaking apart the 2 parts of the Rav? Okay. So step number 1 is to understand we have free will. What's the extent? What does that mean? How can I be held accountable? Right. Those are the major issues in free will. If God knew that I was going to murder, it's not really my fault. No, God might have known you were going to murder, but in the end, you still did commit that act. So we have free choice. The fact that we're here and we're listening, it was our choice to come and be part of this shiur tonight. Okay, now, Rabbi, we'll skip Rabbi Kiva Tatz for a second. But the following is what we're going to do now. Rabbi Steinsaltz, Zichr Tzadik Levracha, Rabbi Steinsaltz, who just passed away over the summer, a great tzaddik and an author and a Baal Mechaber Sfarim who made Torah learning so accessible for so many people. Rev Steinzelt says there are three steps. Step number one is that God wants to reward us. Our relationship with Hashem is that he cares about us and he wants to do good for us. Step number two, for us to get and receive reward, Hashem wants us to work for it and to have free choice. If we were put in this world, then automatically we showed up to every shir, we davened with extra kavanah. It wasn't even a question. We never talked during davening. We made every bracha. We never spoke Lashon Hara. We finished Shas every day. What point in there would be to giving reward? If you had baseball robots that played baseball, you wouldn't award an MVP to a baseball robot. It wouldn't make any sense. So to give us reward, God says, you need to have free choice. And finally, says Rav Steinzelt, free choice is impossible without teshuvah. How does that make any sense? Step one and step two make sense. If I want to earn reward, I should go in this world. The Ramchal here in source number 8, the Ramchal describing free choice, he mentions a number of places. He says that's why this world is so difficult. We are living through some very difficult times, not just physically, but even spiritually. We are living in a time where it might not be the easiest to communicate with God and to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are impediments and there are walls and obstacles and distractions that withhold us from getting close to Hashem. But that's this world. Because when we work through them and we push ourselves and we achieve things, that was us. We did it. We accomplished it. What an amazing, amazing gift. So it makes sense that if we were to go ahead and get reward, we have to do it with free choice. That's why the next world, Olam Haba, doesn't have choice. It's just us and the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay. But now let's get into really what we need to discuss. Well, let's think about the last step. When a person sins, what happens? So the Gemara tells us, or the Medrash tells us in Source number 9, that when a person sins, the first time it's ayayay, the second time it's ay, and the third time there's no more ay. It's nasa lo keheter, right? Whatever that sin is, right? A person gets into the, I just had a discussion earlier this week with the former student of mine who was struggling with certain aspects of religiosity. And the problem is, as this student was very honest to point out, over time, things become your norm. They become habitual. Na'asa lo keheter. Now, if it becomes na'asa lo keheter, like it's just permissible, you think, how can I ever change such a thing? How can I ever change such a thing? The Rambam is telling us, yes, in genetics, a person might not have free choice in a certain sense. You know, when I was in high school, so I got to play basketball with the great Tamir Goodman. Right, Tamir Goodman was one of the most famous Jewish basketball players of all time. I'm still close with him. He does tremendous work inspiring, teaching basketball still, but inspiring countless young men and women to just achieve greatness in their own lives. So after 11th grade, we were in the same grade. Tamir Goodman left. He came to school a little bit, but he was playing for a different school because he needed better opponents. So then they told me that, Liebtag, you're now playing center. Now, I'm not very tall, and I can't free will it to just say, well, I want to be 6'5", so let me be 6'5". It didn't work. I tried, and I davened, and I still got out-rebounded every single game. And certain things, when it comes to genetics, yes, the Rama might tell us there's not much that I can do. Now, that doesn't mean I'm supposed to give up. We're given the cards. The question is how we play them. So it's Shlomo character traits. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that if you're born on a certain hour, when Mars is more dominant, the Gemara in Shabbos says, it's right at the end, the Daf Yomi probably just finished it, you're destined to spill blood. So Rav Ashi says, yeah, you could be you don't have to be a murderer. You could be a shochet, right? You could be a moel. right? How you use your cards is how you play them. And says Rav Kook. In comes Rav Kook and tells us the following. Says Rav Kook, Echam ha-yisodos shel ha-tshuva, one of the foundations of tshuva, b'mechavto shel Adam, is hakaras ha-achrayus shel ha-adam al ma'asav. That's one of the most important lines of tshuva. The recognition of my accountability, my responsibility on my own actions. Shemitoch emunas habechira hachavshis, because I have free will, I can decide how I want to go about things. V'zeo gam kein tochan ha-vidoy, that's why we have vidoy, that I should believe that I am the one who sinned. I am the one who put myself in that situation. I am the one that got into this mess, but I am the one that can get myself out of this mess. Rav Kook is explaining that tshuva is impossible unless we recognize that we are responsible. If I don't make my choices freely, then I say, listen, it's not my fault. I am the way that I am. The process of repentance can only begin once I understand that I am responsible. I'm not compelled by anything else. It might take a lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight. But I make my moral and religious decisions for my life. And it's not just minor choices that I make. I have free choice to make any of these decisions, subconsciously, unconsciously. Unfortunately, though, we often don't think this, right? We think that we aren't born perfect, but Tshuva tells us that we can make a difference. And that's why, as we're going to see, as we answer these questions, you listen to this line from the grave of Nachman of Breslov. Shamati she'ish echad sh'al oso. Someone asked, Ketzad ha-bechira. What does it mean to have choice? Heishev lo b'pshitus. He answered him very simply. Ha-bechira b'yad ha-adam b'pshitus. A man has choice. Imrotze obse. If he wants to do something, do it. Imein ha-rotze. He doesn't want to do it. V'rashamti zos ki nitzrachmo ki kama b'nei adam nevuchem ez. We're confused. Why? Because we are so stuck in our ways. It is either difficult for us to see the way out, or it's just not worth all the effort. I'd rather put it on something else, chalk it up to some other issue that I have, and I don't have to work on it. And this is how we're going to answer all these different questions. The kind of tshuva that we are doing, is not just tshuva, that I'm sorry. Why does the Rambam put tshuva, put free will, not in Yesodei HaTorah? Why does the Rambam take Ilchos free will and put it in the middle of tshuva? Because tshuva is predicated on the fact that I have free will. I can at any moment in time say, at least say, I want to be better. And I have the ability to change. And when we think about it in that way, it's amazing. You know, there's these different tshuvas that are written. We shared maybe a number of years ago that in those of Rav Zilberstein's forum about these like fascinating shilas that are brought to Rav Zilberstein. So he quotes this shila about a father that his daughter is engaged to a guy, and the girl's father is a studies handwriting. Whatever that is. Cryptology? Howard, is that right? I feel like you would know if that was right. I don't know. It sounds like that could be right. If it's not right, you'll tell me. So what happened was that the Kala says to the Chassan, I need your handwriting. My father wants to study it to make sure that you're a good guy. So what does he do, this guy? He goes to the top guy in the Beis Medrash and he asks that guy, can I have your handwriting? Whatever, write me a Dvar Torah for Shabbos. So the guy writes him a Dvar Torah, and he takes this other guy's handwriting, and he gives it to his Kala. He says, here, show this to your father. So the father comes back. Whoa, what a guy. Wow, tremendous. He's a tzaddik. Yo, wow, you should marry him tomorrow. So right before the wedding, this guy obviously has he's getting very nervous that he, you know, already lied to his father-in-law. You have to give it a few weeks into marriage, at least. So he's not sure what to do. So he goes to Rav Zilberstein. He says, what do I do? So Rav Zilberstein first says, you were wrong. That was the wrong thing to do. But you don't have to, you know, you don't have to worry, because just because that handwriting was what it was doesn't mean that's who you are. We always believe, and he quotes a tshuva, that this actually happened years earlier about handwriting, that just because you write something today and I study it a week from now, that doesn't mean I can figure out who you are, because we believe in the power of tshuva. Free will is what tells us that tshuva exists. It tells us that at any time I am able to stop and to work on whatever that may be. Now, unfortunately, we sometimes don't like to hear that. And I think that we become, especially in our day, in 2020, the end of Tav Shin Pei, we have become very entrenched in all parts of Orthodoxy, that my slice of how I have designed Orthodoxy is the right approach. And therefore, if you tell me that I'm too right or too left of what I should be doing, I will tell you, no, this is my slice. But that doesn't allow us to see how to improve, to see how to get better, to see where we can make changes, where we can impact ourselves, our family, our community in immeasurable ways. Tshuva, free will, is telling us that we have the ability. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about here. So look at the Rav. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says the following. The Rav differentiates between tshuva and kapara. Right? A kapara is atonement, and tshuva, which leads to geula. The former kapara, right, is really about committing to one area of my life. Right? But there is more of a redemptive a tshuva that happens. And here, the Rav says the following on the right side. However, sin has a polluting quality. The entire Bible abounds in references to this idea of self-pollution, contamination, rolling about in the mire of sin. This impurity makes its mark on the sinner's personality. So when I do tshuva, I am not simply just trying to say I'm sorry. I'm trying to remove all of those layers, trying to change forces of nature. You know, I tell you, it's like in schools now. So in all schools that have been open, one of the things that schools are seeing is that it's Baruch Hashem, the amount of work that went into it, everyone that worked on these openings should be given a tremendous yashar koach. But you can see children's nature when they're together, it's hard. They're learning how to separate and be socially distanced. In the classroom, it's fine. It's not their nature. We're humans. We want to be near each other. So tshuva tells me that I'm able to even change bad habits that I may have developed, bad traits that might have worked, that have, you know, encased over time and over time and over time, I have that ability to break that. And here I want to share with you a remarkable comment of Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler, when talking about tshuva, so Rav Dessler talks about the battlefield. It's an amazing, amazing piece of Rav Dessler. And Rav Dessler, I have it here for you in the Hebrew, the next page for the English. But I'll tell you just outside sort of what Rav Dessler suggests. Rav Dessler says that he views our fight with our Yetzer Hara like a battlefront. It's a battlefront. I have free choice. So instead of a battlefront, you could use, you know, Lahavdil, or not really Lahavdil, but a football field. Okay? One team is trying to score a touchdown, and one team is trying not to let them score a touchdown. That's essentially how I had to explain football to my mother. Okay, when the Ravens were playing, my mom said, "What's happening?" I said, "Well, some of these guys want to get a touchdown, some don't. They sort of had four chances, but they can get more. Just watch." Okay, but now we're all good. She understands, and the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl. But anyway, every time you do something good, you advance. So if you're trying to get a touchdown, you advance 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards. And the yards behind you don't make a difference anymore. You don't need those yards. You've advanced, unless you get sacked. But you advance. And a battlefront, says Rav Dessler, the more that your army pushes forward, you've now conquered a little bit more. So says Rav Dessler, each of us have what he calls a nekudas habechira, a point of, you know, a battlefront. My battlefront, different than your battlefront, different than the other guy's battlefront. There are 35 people in there right now. 35 of us have a different battlefront. And as we conquer that battlefront, like for example, let's say someone struggles with brachos, with making brachos. So they work on it, and it could be their whole life. Their whole life they had an issue with it. They work on it, and they put up reminders, and for a week, a month, a year, they say brachos, and at some point it becomes normal, and it becomes routine. That battle is conquered. Now they move that battlefront a little bit more. Or it goes the opposite way. If you're trying to score the touchdown and you get sacked and then sacked and then sacked, you move the battlefront negatively. So Rav Dessler says that's Nekudas HaBechira. Each of us have free choice and it doesn't remain static. It moves, says Rav Dessler. When we do something good, it raises. We do something bad, it pushes it back. But this is our Nekudas HaBechira. And now, we'll go share with you a little bit more before we end. Now says the Rav. I know this is like a little bit much, but I think it is so crucial. It is so crucial to our understanding of my involvement in tshuva, of my responsibility, because I am my own master. And when I make that decision and those choices, as hard as they may be, and it takes time, I have conquered the most magnificent and perhaps difficult step of tshuva. So says Rabbi Soloveitchik, in light of this, one can understand the connection between free choice and repentance. If the penitent utilizes the power of choice to form a new way of life for himself and establish a new set of rules which will affect his natural reactions, if he succeeds in shaping a radically new personality, he's not in danger of backsliding. And indeed, why should he revert to the way of sin? After all, that's gone away. And this, as Rabbi Tatz points out, tshuva really is a change of will. But I really want to just end with one final note about free will and about tshuva and about our personal responsibility and about our growth as individuals, as lifelong learners. Not only is free will necessary for tshuva, but tshuva is necessary for free will. That means the fact that at any moment I can say, I can be better. I can change. The fact that I'm not predisposed to a certain way of life, to a certain attitude, to a certain religious level, that means that I can even turn back events of the past, that I could go back. Crazy how the Rav says Spinoza and Nietzsche all didn't believe in tshuva because it was crazy. The fact that if I really did tshuva properly, I could go back into my life and change averos into good deeds. The fact that that exists in the world, that shows us that I have free will. Free will isn't important for tshuva. Tshuva is important for free will, right? We know that tshuva was created even before the beginning of the world was created. I believe when we go back to that Rambam, all the way in the beginning, the Rambam is telling us something very, very, very profound. It's not just that without tshuva, without free choice, there's no tshuva. Without tshuva, there's no free choice. That I could make a decision at any time. I'll tell you an amazing story. Hadar Golden, who at the end of Protective Edge, there are two bodies that are still not home, right? Hadar Golden and our own shul's bodies, his mother spoke about his love of learning and his hasmada, his dedication, his diligence. And one of the personal effects that they recovered from Hadar Golden, from the tunnel in which they were kidnapped, was a copy of his Mesilas Yesharim. We quoted earlier the Ramchal. So he had a copy of the Mesilas Yesharim that he carried with him in his bag, full of his own notes that he wrote throughout each page. And his Rebbe, Hadar Golden's Rebbe, describes the lines that were written by Hadar like on the notes. And he writes on the concept of Zrizus, of Hidr, of energy, Slavos. But he writes the following. These are his words. He says, there is much wisdom in initiative. To love hard work is a decision. it does not interest me to find shortcuts. Mehadrin, he says, Ken ani rotza avoda kasha. I, Hadar Golden, I want the hard work. To be a man, he writes, to be a woman, a personality is to find the ish that is hiding within the ish. He writes this. The ish that is hiding within the ish, to develop the ishiyut, who I am, my personality. I can choose if I will go to the Beis Medrash with Zrizos or with Lehis Lahavas. I decide that. We make our decisions. The fact that I have tshuva in this world tells me that I can decide who I want to become. Now, just yesterday at the Siyum that was finished in memory of the learning for Devora, it was mentioned about the ability for Devora to tap into different people's personalities and to know exactly what was needed for them. But aside from that, I think that one of the things that I have learned from Devora wasn't just her ability to connect to each person, but that we make decisions about how we want to live. And those decisions are not always easy, and they come with a lot of hard work. Hard work in terms of raising families, hard work in terms of dedication to Talmud Torah, to Limud Torah, to always wanting to learn and wanting to grow. It is one thing to learn, and it's another thing to say, I'm going to learn and I'm going to grow at each opportunity. And certain people do that their entire lives. They're lifelong learners. And to me, Devora and you, Mike, are people that do their entire lives and lead by example. Not just that they tap into other people, but that other people look to them to how to live. And this developed the ish within the ish, the fire, whatever the fire might be for. That fire could be for Torah, could be for chesed, but it's our decision. We make that decision. And when we make negative decisions, that impacts us. It impacts us on our daily routines. The more that I get into a habit of doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. You know, one of the great things about Elul is that Elul is 30 days. The great Tal ben Shachar, the great behavioral psychologist, notes that when I make something a ritual, it becomes easier. Right? Why do most of us, I hope, if not all of us, brush our teeth every single day? We're not fighting about it. It might not be the greatest thing we love doing because it's a ritual. The more that we do good things, it becomes part of our routine. Now, would it be great that if every time I brush my teeth, I did it exactly as the dentist said? It would be. But it's a routine. And I forgot his name. His last name is Page. He works for Google. And he says that it takes you 30 days to develop rituals. So when we develop good habits, when we develop good routines, it sticks with us. When we develop negative routines and negative habits, it sticks with us too. And tshuva is there to tell us, I make all the choices. I cannot change to become taller. I cannot change to become more hair. It's just the way that it is at this point. But I can change to how I want to live and be on top of the decisions that I can make. How kind I am, how much chesed I'm doing, how much tehillim I'm saying, how much I'm dedicating to learning, how much I'm spending time davening, how much more I want to grow. Those are my decisions. How do I know that I can make that decision? Tshuva. That's why the Rambam puts it here. Tshuva exists, and that tells me that free will exists. Not free will in Yesodei HaTorah and tshuva in Hilchos Mada. Tshuva is in smack in the middle, because tshuva is not only about, free will is not only about tshuva, it's part of tshuva. But the fact that tshuva exists tells me that free will exists. We make the right choices. We are able to find the ish that hides within the ish, to develop that ishiyut, that who we are. And when we work hard and we make the right decisions, we uncover a personality that takes us to amazing new places. But as we mentioned last week, it begins with a turn. It begins with a change, a decision, an opportunity that presents itself in which I say, all right, I'm thinking about making that change. And then the next step is, which is this was tonight's year, about making that change, even as small as it is. And if we can on our own decide right now, tomorrow, Rosh Hashanah is 3 weeks from Friday night, I'm going to change one thing from now until next 3 weeks. Something small, something little, something easy, but something. And that will snowball hopefully into other things. So again, I want to thank the Zweigbaums for sponsoring this year, Lila Nishmas, Devorah, Master of Gershon, Devorah Nussbaum, who led her life with this mantra, and she should continue to inspire and to impact many. Thank you for all joining. Looking forward to our shiur next Monday night as well, on the topic of not blowing the shofar this year on Shabbos.